My dearly beloved in Christ, in the parable of the cockle and the wheat, Christ tells us that the good seed signifies the children of the kingdom of God, Catholics living in the state of grace, who bring forth the fruit of good works, while the weeds or cockle signifies the children of iniquity and those who do evil. It also represents bad companions and every false doctrine that leads people to evil. The sower, Almighty God, goes out to sow his seed, his divine word, in our souls. The devil and his agents, bad companions, follow in God's footsteps to sow cockle in our hearts. Cockle is injurious to the good seed and prevents it from yielding abundant fruit. In the East, when a farmer wished to have revenge on another, he would wait until his neighbor had sown his field and would then oversow them with cockle. This usually implied not merely the loss to the harvest, but also damage to the soil, which remained useless for many years. In like manner, the cockle, bad companions, tend to lead us into sin by their evil conversation and bad example, thus preventing the seeds of virtue from developing in our souls. My dearly beloved in Christ, Almighty God commands us to avoid bad company. In the book of Proverbs we read, "If sinners shall entice thee, walk thou not with them." St. Paul counsels, "Withdraw yourselves from every brother who lives irregularly." In the Sermon on the Mount, our Lord tells us that we must immediately abandon bad companions and the proximate occasion of sin, though they appear as near, as dear to us, or as necessary as a hand or an eye. So if thy right eye is an occasion of sin to thee, pluck it out and cast it from thee. For it is better for thee that one of thy members should perish than that thy whole body should be thrown into hell. And if thy right hand is an occasion of sin to thee, cut it off and cast it from thee. For it is better for thee that one of thy members should be lost than that thy whole body should go to hell. We must keep in mind the final end of the cockle, for our eternal destiny may very well depend upon the company we keep. "Do not be led astray," said St. Paul. "Evil companions corrupt good morals." Experience shows how quickly we assimilate the language and habits of our friends. We must be wary, for one rotten apple will indeed destroy all others in contact with it. In countless cases, peer pressure and the influence of bad company has been strong enough to drag the virtuous from their good resolutions and to push them to the brink of hell. Many souls are now in hell, and they owe their eternal damnation to the pressure and persuasion of bad companions. My dearly beloved in Christ, Bishop Lewis Morrow says, "Sin is a contagious disease. If we do not wish to be infected, we must go away from it. One who leads us into sin is not our friend. We must stop going with that companion, whether the same gender or opposite. Undue familiarity between opposite sexes inflames the passions, just as straw ignites when brought near the fire. Girls and young women certainly know that if they want to be respected, they must respect themselves and avoid dangerous situations." By the fourth commandment, parents are obliged to exercise continual vigilance to guard their children from moral evil. This vigilance extends to their phones, to the books and magazines their children read, what television shows and movies they see, what music they listen to, and especially to the company they keep. In her autobiography, St. Teresa of the Little Flower writes, "If I were to give advice, I would say to parents that they ought to be very careful whom they allow to mix with their children when young, for much mischief thence ensues, and our natural inclinations are unto evil rather than unto good. Wicked companions are worse than the infamous soldiers of King Herod, who slaughtered the innocent baby boys in Bethlehem centuries ago. The heartless soldiers took only the corporal lives of the holy innocents, but bad companions caused many souls to go to hell. The soldiers obeyed the wicked commands of Herod, but evil company obeyed the devil and their own unruly passions and seek to drag others to their pitiful level. Considering the irreparable evils of bad company, and we can, for some people, their phone is that bad companion, we should resolve to separate ourselves from them as quickly as we would separate ourselves from an infectious disease. As readily as we would avoid contact with one who had leprosy for fear of deadly contagion, which would disfigure our form, leading us to ultimate death, so much more should we be terrified of contact with one who could lead to the disfigurement and destruction of our immortal soul. Perhaps we may see the true reality of such a situation in the sad narration of the following true story. In a small town in France, there lived a young man whose piety and good conduct were an example to all who knew him. He was regular in his devotions, a model of obedience to his parents, and charitable to everyone. All his thoughts were fixed on heaven, and the end for which all his actions were performed were for the honor and glory of God and the salvation of his own soul. It happened that on a certain day, a public entertainment was given in a neighboring village, at which there were to be fireworks and dancing, and Hubert, for that was the name of the young man, took a walk over the place to see what was going on. He had always been accustomed, whenever he went to any amusement, to go in company with a certain companion his own age, as good and virtuous as himself, and they always returned home at an early hour. On this occasion, he went out alone. On his way, he met a young man named Louis, with whom he was slightly acquainted. Now, although Louis had been well brought up in his childhood, he had, by mingling with bad companions, lost all the good habits he had learned and was noted all over the country for his bad conduct. If Hubert had been prudent, he would not have gone with him at all, because he knew well what kind of person he was and would have easily found some excuse to leave his company. But he found Louis's conversation agreeable and said to himself, perhaps, after all, Louis may not be as bad as he said to be. And he determined to walk along with him. At first they talked about the weather and other such matters, but little by little, Louis began to speak more freely. He boasted of the pleasant kind of life he led, laughed at Hubert because he was still pious, and told him that he had once been pious himself, but he had given it up long ago. It's very good to be pious when one is a child, he said, but when one is grown up, it's time to throw piety away. Hubert should have gone away from him immediately. These words clearly told him that the one who spoke them was no fit companion for him, or anyone who desired to be good. But still, he remained with him. When they arrived at the village, they met with a number of Louis's companions, wicked like himself. Hubert was introduced to them and spent the rest of the day with them. When evening came, they all went together to one of those places of amusement where many souls fall into mortal sin. Hubert went also, although the voice of conscience was constantly telling him not to go with him. He ended by yielding to temptation and falling into mortal sin. Scarcely had he thus offended God when, by an accident, he fell down a stair leading to the house and died. Louis, who had been the cause of his sin and seeing what had happened, was so struck with horror and remorse that he took a resolution on the spot to leave the world and sin and spend the rest of his days in doing penance. He left the village without delay, and going to a neighboring monastery, begged to be allowed to enter there to atone for his many sins. When the superior came into the room where he was, Louis threw himself at his feet and said, while the tears were running down his cheeks, O Father, I entreat you, take compassion on a miserable wretch who has destroyed the soul of a brother, and admit me into your monastery, that I may bewail my wickedness for the rest of my life. The superior, having heard his sad story, exhorted him to be very sorry for his past life and confide in the great mercy of God, but added, I cannot receive you into this house until you have shown me that you intend to persevere in this resolution, and it's not just a mere passing desire. Father, replied the young man, who still continued at the feet of the superior, I will remain at your gate as many days as you please, but never will I depart till you permit me to do penance in your monastery for the rest of my life. The superior, moved by the appearance of real repentance he saw in Lewis, at length told him he would admit him for a time on trial. Lewis entered, and from that day till the day of his happy death, remained there. But the thought that he had been the cause of the ruin of poor Hubert's soul was always before his mind. And whenever he met any of the religious or strangers passing by the monastery, he used to say to them, pray to God to have mercy on me, a wretch who once destroyed the soul of a brother. From this example, we see what a dangerous thing it is to go into bad company. The most innocent souls have been brought into sin by going with companions who are wicked. And if by chance we may have led others into sin, let us be very sorry and do penance for it and continually ask God to pardon us. For it's a terrible thing to have to account to God for being the cause of the loss of a soul, even one soul, since our dear Lord shed his precious blood to save it. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.